Tonight, take your Bibles and turn first to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at three texts here tonight. And tonight is going to be an introduction part 2 to a new series that we began last week, or several weeks ago, entitled How to Study the Bible and to Profit by It. If you are not studying your Bible, then hopefully your pastor can convince you for the need to bring this discipline into your life. And beloved, you cannot throw too many rocks at your preacher. I haven't even told you, nor have I demanded, nor have I pounded in your head how long you're to study. And if anyone here tonight has drawn the conclusion that pastor is saying that I got to cloister myself in my house all day and bury myself in books and Bibles, you have been a very poor listener of Scripture. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. The question tonight is this: do you have a desire to study God's Word? Okay, is there a heart there that wants to study? What I want to do tonight is to try to convince you of that discipline by looking at God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, allow me just to read verse 15. And then we're going to go to two more texts. We're going to do a word study tonight. A simple word study. And as we do this word study, I'm also demonstrating and showing to you one aspect of Bible study. Doing a word study. And then drawing conclusions from the definition of a word. In this case, three words. How it's used in Scripture, and how you all bring it to a conclusion. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I made a comment that if you take most modern English translations, you will find that they have removed the word study altogether. The overwhelming majority of modern English translations have removed this word. Therefore, the Authorized Version is one of the very rare exceptions of English translations that has the written command to study the Bible. So, beloved, tonight, whether you study or not is not an option here tonight. Your argument and your beef is not with the preacher, it's with the one whom saved you. Your question is against God, because in the Greek, that's a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Notice the command, study. Study. That's a command. No option here. You can't put this on the back burner. My aim in this new series is to give you the tools and to give you the guidance on the how-to of the study. Study to show thyself, notice, approved unto Pastor Bob. Well, my Bible doesn't read that. The second motivation for you to study is not to impress your preacher. Your motivation to study God's Word is not to impress your Christian neighbor who sits to your left, to your right, to your front, and then to your backside. You are to study to show yourself approved unto God. Not to the preacher, not to the deacon, not to the Sunday school teacher, and not to your brother and sister in Christ. You are to study to show yourself approved unto God. Notice the next words. A workman. A workman. Comment will follow later. That needed not to be ashamed. Beloved, this article that I mentioned, now this is my third time, this article in the paper, last Saturday's paper, about Mr. Camping, I won't even use the brother no more, Mr. Camping claiming that this Saturday is the end of the world. People have made life-changing decisions based on this heretic's teaching without even examining his teachings. Because he is the only man whom apparently God has given this grand information that this Saturday is the end of the world. Why hasn't he told the rest of the world that if it's true? One man, with all of his cantankerings and all of his calculations, with all of his number formulas, he comes up with May 21st, this Saturday, as the end of the world. And there are millions of people who have swallowed this, not in America, nationwide. If that's true, why is this program still asking for monetary donations as of this morning? If I knew the light switch is going to be off this Saturday, why do I need to pay a light bill, gas bill, water bill, and pay my staff? It's serious. Next text, turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. Take these three texts down. 2 Timothy 2:5, 2:15, which is the command to study, to show thyself approved unto God, not to the preacher. I don't want you to study your Bible to impress me. You are to impress no one but the Lord Jesus Christ. He signed your paycheck on Judgment Day, not me. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. And when you read the context, Jesus is in hot controversy with the unbelieving Jews and especially the religious leaders of his day. Search the scriptures. And those of you who know English better than me, search the scriptures, John 5, 39. That is not an option. It's not multiple choice. It's a command. Just like in 2 Timothy 2:15 in the Greek, that is a command. Study. Here, search. What am I to search? The want ads? No. Classifieds? No. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And why ought you to study the scriptures? They are they which testify of me. And the pronoun me refers back to Christ. So the question is this, my dear Christian. Do you want to know more of Christ? Do you want to feed and dine upon Him? Do you want that intimate relationship with the one who died for you and was buried for you and rose again for you and now sits in heaven as your advocate and intercessor for you? Do you want to know Him intimately? Do you want to grow deeper in your love for the Savior? I'm not asking you to grow deeper in your love for me, though we should do that all amongst ourselves. 1 John teaches that. The question tonight is, are you desirous and willing to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to put Jesus Christ at the top of your priority of all the things that you and I have to do during the course of a day, during the course of a week, during the course of a month, during the course of a year, and now until you go home to meet the Lord? Beloved, the monkey goes back on your shoulder as well as mine. Are you desirous to search the scriptures? And then the third text tonight is turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We're going to study these three texts. Not the context too much, but three words. Acts chapter 17. Paul is in his second missionary journey. He's in the modern-day country of Greece. He's just established the church in Thessalonica, which bears two letters in the New Testament. Look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Things in Thessalonica got a little hot after 3 weeks of ministering. Paul and Silas had to be hurried out of the city because of the unbelieving Jews and the ruckus that they were raising against the Apostle Paul. And so Paul, in the night, skedaddles on the highway south to a town called Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. More noble. Well, in what way? And that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And there'll be a comment at the end of the message about that expression. And search the scriptures daily. And beloved, I say this with all love. I'll be a little firm. They had just as much responsibilities as you and I do. They had to put the bread and the bacon on the table. And they had to also make sure that they paid their taxes to the Roman officials. They had monkeys to feed like you and I have monkeys to feed. And they search their scriptures Not when they felt like it. Not when they could cram it somewhere in their busy journal daily. Whether those things were so. And beloved, going back to this heretic, if people would just spend a little time studying the scriptures, they would know that Mr. Camping is nothing but a downright feeble-minded heretic. If someone commits suicide this Saturday because the earthquake didn't occur and Jesus didn't come, that person's blood is on his noggin. So hopefully I've convinced you that the subject of studying the Bible is extremely important. Well, according to these three verses that we just heard and I just read, I want to draw the following conclusions as they relate to this new topic of studying the scriptures. Number one, the Bible is a book which invites any honest inquiry of its content. I'll say that again. This book, this Bible, is a book which invites. It invites. It begs the question. It demands an investigation. This book guarantees that you will find truth if you are willing to dig into its mind. If you're willing to dig into the treasure box of knowledge, if you are willing to do the work, God is willing to reveal himself and you will find out who the Lord Jesus Christ is in all of his glory, in all of his beauty, in all of his majesty that will cause you to fall deeper in an intimate love and relationship with your God. The Bible begs an investigation for the truth that it contains. Secondly, the Bible can be studied and it can be understood. I want that clearly understood. The Bible can be studied and you can understand the scriptures. On this point, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Because I can almost hear someone say, well, not everything in that Bible is plain and clear. And the preacher is going to agree with you, but I want to show you a verse that even says it better than your pastor can say it. I want you to underline, mark this Bible, mark this verse, or put it in your notes, and I want you to remember where it's at. 2 Peter chapter 3, allow me to read verses 15 to 16. 2 Peter 3, 15 to 16. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul. Now notice that. Paul and Peter, irregardless of the lack of telephones and computers and Facebook and Twitter, tweet, sputter and spit, all these new ways of now texting and thumbing each other to death, hitting a keyboard. Apparently, Peter and Paul had an intimate correspondence and an intimate relationship, even though they were ministering miles, sometimes hundreds, sometimes possibly thousands of miles apart. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, had written unto you. Did you hear that? Those who were receiving Peter's letter had also received correspondence from Paul. As in also all his epistles, here it comes, church, speaking in them of these things in which are some things. I want you to underline that. The next time some jayhawk or some jaybird comes to you and says, the Bible is too hard to understand. The Bible says only some things hard to be understood. It doesn't say everything in the Bible is hard to be understood. Your Bible even admits, did you know this verse was in there? Under divine inspiration, where God the Holy Spirit does admit, he does agree, that some things are very hard to be understood, written by the pen of Paul, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Notice who are the ones who become heretics. Those who are unlearned and unstable. Those are the ones who twist the scriptures to their own damnation, and unfortunately, to the spiritual, physical, mental, and psychological damage of other people. So, beloved, the Bible can be understood. Thirdly, tonight, by way of just conclusion from these three texts, Bible study is not for the lazy at heart. Bible study is not for the lazy at heart. And I hope to prove this at the end of the message. Fourthly, for the hungry believer, the study of the Bible is a lifelong pursuit. I'll say that again. For the hungry believer, for the believer that wants to get off first base and go to second, go to third, and then come home and then score a run, Bible study, or the hungry believer, the study of the Bible is to be a lifelong pursuit. So that should already put you at ease. Your pastor is not asking, nor demanding, nor trying to put on you a much bigger gorilla that shouldn't be there. I'm telling you that the study of your Bible should begin right now somewhere. But it's going to be a lifelong pursuit. I'm not asking you to study all 66 books before the weekend. I'm asking you, do you have a desire to study the Bible at all? And if you tell me, well, I don't, or I don't have the time, then I'll put a spiritual thermometer under your tongue and see whether you're alive. Bible study is not an option. Church ain't an option. Praying to God's not an option. Loving your wife's not an option. Reverencing your husband's not an option. Loving God's not an option. I'm pretty sure everybody in this room, going to work is not an option, is it? You know you have to go to work. Because if you don't work, you're fired. You get fired, you're going to the rescue mission. I'll feed you, I'll give you a cot, I'll give you a blanket. Why not Bible study? If all those other things are not optional, why not the study of Scripture? Fifthly and finally on his conclusions, for the one who refuses to study his Bible, the Bible will remain a closed book in many areas of truth and application. For the one who refuses to study his Bible, the Bible will always remain closed, and you will hinder and stifle any further understanding and any further application in your walk and in your race to that celestial city. And you cannot blame this preacher. You cannot blame your boss. You cannot blame your schedule. You cannot blame your body. You cannot blame residing sin. You've made that choice to be stingy with your time with God's Word. And I was preached these things when I was 18 years old by other Christian men who were older than me, and all I was a converted Catholic who never read a Bible in my life till I was 18. The message you're getting tonight, I was challenged with when I was 18 years old, living in a dormitory thousands of miles away from Daddy. Well, with that in mind, are you ready for your Bible study tonight? Turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's do a word study. And beloved, my admonishments here tonight are maybe said with such a tone of voice to simply motivate you. Because you're not to study your Bible to impress me. I'm not even going to ask you if you're studying your Bible. I'm not even going to ask you how long you're spending in your study. It's none of my blooming business. What your pastor wants to do is get you off of first base and run down to second. What a desire. I think I'll try to make some room in my busy schedule to study Scripture. And all that I'm going to do in this series is give you all the hints and tips and show you the resources and just set you free. I'm not coming to your home to check up on you. Look at verse 15 again. It says clearly, study. Study. The Greek word that is translated study in the Authorized Version, I will read the word to you and then I'll give you the actual spelling. Are you ready for this? Spoudazo. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. S-P-U-D-A-Z-O. Spoudazo. The root word is the Greek word spoude. S-P-O-U-D-E. And the very root word in the Greek means the following. For those of you taking notes, are you ready for this? It means to be diligent. It means to be earnest. And it means to be zealous. Did you know that? The Greek word, spoudazo, comes from the Greek word, root word, spoude. And that word simply means to be diligent, to be earnest, and to be zealous. Well, the word spoudazo that's translated here in the Greek also carries the idea to hasten to do a thing. Did you hear that? It signifies to quicken or to hasten to do something. It also means to exert oneself, and it also means to endeavor. And if memory serves me right, we currently have a multi-million dollar piece of metal orbiting the Earth right now called Space Shuttle Endeavor. And would you be willing to say that that piece of hunk up there, that metal hunk that you paid for in your taxes, has been one of the leading workhorses of NASA's Space Shuttle mission? The very name of the space shuttle circling the Earth right now typifies the meaning of the word to study, to endeavor. And therefore, your pastor draws this conclusion. From this word definition, I rest my statement, quote, Bible study, which leads to profit, is not for the lazy of heart. Have I now proven my point? The very word, the very Greek word from which it's translated, study, comes from a Greek word that demands diligence, earnestness, and zealousness. It is a word that denotes that you put your hand to a job and you hasten to quicken the job to its end result. It means to endeavor, and it means to exert oneself. Beloved, in that very definition, I do not find a lazy Christian who says, I'll go to church for a couple of hours, I'll check in, and then I'll clock out when Brother Bob says the last amen. I will open my mind, let the preacher fill it, and then I'm going to survive on the strength of all those spiritual calories until the next week. If you and I take that biblical view, then you're stifling yourself. You're being lazy. Let me turn the tables around. Do you want me to be lazy? Now, the Apostle Paul had to boast in order to answer his accusers. Well, none of you are my accusers here this evening. But I'm going to turn the tables around. The last time I check, I work 40 to 50 hours a week on my feet for about 6 hours before I can sit down and take a break. I'm responsible for feeding nearly 1,000 people 5 times a day. Anybody want to follow me in the kitchen? I come home, then I got to come home and put on my husband hat. Then I got to go down the hall and somehow find the time to put the pastor's hat on and to study and prepare for my lessons to feed you. Question, do you want a lazy pastor? Well, no. I expect my pastor to do his homework. I expect my pastor to have himself all studied up, because on Sunday mornings, twice on Sunday, and once on Wednesday, my pastor better feed me the scriptures, because he's told us from the pulpit, if I don't feed you, you fire him. Have I not said that? So I'm going to put myself on the chopping block. Do you want a pastor who's lazy? Can your boss afford you to be lazy? Can the husbands of this church tolerate a lazy wife? And can the women of this church tolerate and put up with a lazy husband who's not willing to work to bring home the bacon? Kind of feels a little bit different when you put it in that perspective. The very word that is translated here, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ whom I love, and I'm willing to get you mad at me here tonight, it doesn't speak of a lazy person. It doesn't speak of a Christian who's lazy. And beloved, if you're not willing to study your Bible, then you can fall prey to a heretic. So now your own spiritual soul is on the chopping block, not your love for your pastor right now, whether he's being too mean, too harsh, too cruel, too straightforward. Your soul is at stake, just like my soul is at stake. If I go down that hallway, just look at four walls and say, well, God will give me something to speak to the church Sunday morning. I don't need to study. Just shut the books. I think I'll watch some TV. Do you want that out of me? What about God? His expectations for you and I are to fall in love with Him by falling in love with His Word. And I'm not advocating, and please don't judge me and don't put words in my mouth, I'm not advocating you have to go in some study in your home and bury yourself for 24 hours under a bunch of books. I'm not saying that. I'm asking you, is there a desire tonight just to study the Scriptures? Is there a desire tonight to know more of Christ? Is there a desire tonight to know more of your Bible whereby you will not fall prey to false teachers and false prophets who come down the street? What I'm asking you tonight, are you willing to also guard your own hearts by being good students of God's Word? Let me show you where this Word is found. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Let's look at three fast verses. Let me show you where the same Greek word that is translated to study in 2 Timothy 2:15, let me show you where the same word is found. And you will be amazing what you find. Galatians chapter 2. Sister Siobhan, would you help me out by reading verses 9 and 10? Galatians 2, verses 9 to 10.
And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do.
Thank you. Look at verse 10. You see the phrase, was forwarded to do? That's the same Greek word that's translated to study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Well, put it in context. James and Cephas and John seem to be pillars of that early Jerusalem church. And these three apostles, they perceived the grace that was in Paul and in Barnabas. So they gave, these three apostles gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship and the acknowledgement that they would go to the Jews, and that Paul and Barnabas would go to the Gentiles. But there was a mutual understanding between these apostles amongst themselves, whether they were ministering to Jews or to Gentiles, that we should remember the poor. That we should exert, that we would not be lazy, and taking care of the poor, the same which I also was zealous, earnest, and eager to accomplish. That same word that is translated to study, which means earnestness, zealousness, and it means to hasten to finish a job, is the same word that is used by God the Holy Spirit to describe our care for those who were less fortunate by digging in our pockets and buying milk, buying bread, buying food, buying clothing to the homeless, the widow, and the street urchins. We had to have the same eagerness, the same zealousness, the same desire to put hands to the plow and finish not only studying my Bible, but ministering to the homeless and poor of our community like they did. Ooh. So you mean to say that God is just as important on my study of the scripture as he is of us as a church to take care of the poor? Yes. You want another example? Turn to Ephesians 4. Beloved, I found this on my own just preparing for this study for you tonight. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you another area that God wants you and I to put our hands to the plow and start and finish. Ephesians chapter 4. Amber, would you read verses 1 to 3 for me, please? And as she reads, may the congregation follow.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
What word in verses 3, Brother Tuttle, do you think is the same Greek word translated study in 2 Timothy 2:15? By the mic.
Endeavoring.
Bingo, he hit a home run. That's the same word. And notice, we are to start and finish not only our Bible study, but we are to start with haste and zeal and earnestness and diligence to take care of the homeless. And you are responsible, every one of you, male, female, just saved in Christ, or walking with Jesus for many years, you and I are to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we are to do that, in verse 2, with lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And beloved, the day that this congregation takes its eyes off of this admonishment, this church will close its doors and we can go our merry way. God will shut the door and he'll blow the light out of our candlestick. We're to be just as eager, just as zealous, and just as willing to stew Bible study as we are to take care of the poor, as just as much as to keep the unity of this congregation firmly knit with love. And when I did this Bible study for you folks, I was saying, wow, I never saw that before. Can I give you one more? There's a whole bunch, but because of my time, look at 1 Thessalonians 2. Watch this one. Yes, your pastor gets excited. Forgive me. There was a time when I got excited when I was in the world. Why not just shift that excitement to something that lasts much longer than getting drunk on a weekend? 1 Thessalonians 2:17. Brother Mike Tuttle, could you take that for me there, my dear brother? Read verse 17, sir.
But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire.
Okay, Sister Spagnolo, what word in verses 17 do you think is the same Greek word that's translated study in 2 Timothy 2:15?
Probably endeavored.
Amen. She just got done hitting a home run. Let me ask you a question. What are we also to strive for with the same degree of energy, zeal, and with the ability to start and finish? Can anyone tell me in verses 17 what you think another duty that this Greek word requires with great zeal? Anyone want to take a stab?
Be together with the brethren.
Do you have a desire to see your Christian brothers and sisters on Sunday and Wednesday? Let me read it again. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence. Beloved, this goes back to the verse that we read way back there in Acts 17. Paul had to leave the city in such haste after only 3 weeks of ministry, but he left a baby, infant, struggling church behind. He goes to Berea, and then he goes to Athens, then he goes to Corinth, but in the absence, but we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, but not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. That's why I take the position. Someone tells me that they're a Christian. You go to church? No, can't stand being around those people. Oh. You read your Bible? Don't have time. I'm busy. Okay. Do you pray? Only when I'm in trouble. Do you desire to be with God's people on the Lord's day in God's house? Well, don't you realize that Sunday is my only day off and I need a day of rest too? I don't find that coming off that page. I don't find that in the early century church. Paul had a burning desire to see the faces of every one of those Thessalonican brothers and sisters whom he was forced to leave quickly because of persecution. I don't read someone in here telling me, well, I can take those saints, I can take or leave the church. I can take or leave my Christian brothers. I got other associates that are more important, high on my priority chain. I don't have time for God's people. And you call yourself a Christian? Well, I've made my decision. I've been baptized. How dare you question my standing before God? Well, you have no stomach for God, nor his people, nor his book. I'm just a carnal Christian and proud of it. I don't find that coming off that verse 17, do you? If you do, I'll sit down and shut up. I found the Apostle Paul with a burning passion to see his brothers and sisters, and he endeavored. Each item here assumes, listen to me, each one of these verses, Galatians 2, Ephesians 4, 1 Thessalonians 2, each of these verses assumes time to be spent, effort to be spent, affections to be spent, talents to be spent, and treasures to be spent. Just to name a few. So once again, my dear Christians, whom I love, this is the flock that God has given me, and your souls, and your standing, and your maturity, and your growth in Christ right now is more important whether or not you even like me with tonight's lesson. I don't find nothing in these verses that even speaks or paints a picture of a lazy Christian. Well, with that in mind, before we go on to our next verse, go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. And let me show you a few more vignettes. Look at this. Go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. With all that we've said here tonight, let's put everything now into the mixing bowl and let's turn the beater on to a slow, slow spin. Ready? Study. Study with earnestness and eagerness and zealousness. You take up that Bible and you have a plan of beginning and a plan to end. You study to show thyself approved unto God. You see the word approved? You're going to like this. It comes from a Greek word that if you bring it into the English vernacular, you know what it means? Stamp of approval. I have a box of matzah. We use this for the Lord's Supper. If you look in the very bottom left corner, you will find a stamp of approval. It reads as follows: 2009 Best Taste, Chef's Choice. Here's a stamp of approval that this approving agency has given this product for being guaranteed to be the best tasting matzah. I also have a DVD, which I'm going to have you watch pretty soon. It's wonderful. About the King James. On the lower right corner is a dove, and it says dove.org, seal of approval. This agency has put its stamp of approval on this DVD for the content and for the family friendliness of the presentation. Question: do you want God's approval tonight? Do you want God's stamp of approval? On the day of judgment, when you do stand before your Savior, do you want to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful pilgrim. Now you come into the joy of the rest that I have prepared before the foundation of the world. I chose you to be my son when there was nothing in you even to choose. I chose you despite your depravity. I chose you. I chose to die for you and to redeem you and to reconcile you and speak peace to you. Now enter into the joy that I have prepared for you. Do you want to hear that? I'm not asking whether you want to hear your pastor's approval. My approval amounts to a hill of beans. I'm asking you, do you want to see the smile of God upon your life? Are you willing to spend a little bit of time and energy in drawing closer to your God by drawing a little closer to His book that He's given to you? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Look at the next two words, congregation. A workman. The very verse itself demands no lazy person. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, rightly categorizing the scriptures, rightly handling the scripture with proper hermeneutical interpretation, whereby you do not come up with garbage like this that's going to cause some people to kill themselves and some people to give up the faith, close their Bibles, never pray again, and never darken the church. And then have the unbelieving world laugh you and I off the earth because there goes the Christian church with its date settings and another one fell through the cracks. Do you think the topic here tonight is a little bit serious? Are you being convinced from God's Word that you need to do something with God's Word in your own private time? And I was preached this when I was 18. And as a newly converted Catholic, I was like this. Huh? Turn now to John chapter 5. I gotta hasten. John chapter 5. Next word study. John 5:39. Jesus is in the midst of controversy. The unbelieving Jews are questioning, challenging him, getting ready, very upset with the words he was speaking. And then Jesus tells them, search the scriptures. And beloved, that's what I want you to do. Search the scriptures. Notice, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Well, why do I need to search the scriptures, Jesus? I got a preacher who takes care of me on Sunday. I'll let him do my study for me, and I'll just open my brain, and Pastor Bob will fill it, and then I'll close my brain and say, well, that's the Bible according to Bob. Beloved, please don't do that. I promise you to do my homework, but I'm only a man. I'm only a man. For they are they which testify of me. You see the word search? It comes from a Greek word. You're going to like this. That simply means to examine. It means to examine. It simply means to examine. Look at Romans 8. Let me show you where this word is found. Turn to Romans 8 quickly. Look at Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 8. Allow me to read verses 26, 27. Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, he that searcheth the hearts, see the word searcheth? That's the same Greek word. That's examine. Search the Scriptures. In John 5:39. Verses 27 tells us that God the Father, he searches our hearts. The same word that is used that commands you and I to search the Scriptures is the same word that the Bible uses to tell us that God searches and he examines our hearts, what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So God the Father searches our hearts. Turn quickly to Revelation 2. And I gotta hasten, trying to get my time in here for you. I want you to get your money's worth. Revelation 2, look at verse 23. This is King Jesus talking to a church there in the first century that had some problems. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. I've given you a verse where God the Father does the searching. I've just given you now a second verse where God the Son does the searching of our hearts. And that's the same Greek word that's translated, search the Scriptures. And then quickly turn to 1 Corinthians 2:12. One of the things I did very early in my Christian pilgrimage, and I'm going to offer this to you free as part of this lesson, is I did take a notebook, like some of you do, and I began to take notes. And then I began to underline and mark my Bible like some of you do. While I'm preaching, I can look from this pulpit, I can look out. You may sometimes think that I'm not looking at you, but I am. And I can see people scribbling in the margins of their Bibles. I did the same thing. Until over the course of years, I have Bibles that are all marked up. And those notes I can go back to and refer to in sermon preparation. Because I did the study years ago under solid preaching. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12. So I encourage you, do it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See the word comparing? Searching. So, beloved, God the Father searches, God the Son searches, and God the Holy Spirit searches our hearts. So guess what your pastor did? He began to look at some verses in the Bible where the eye of God is mentioned. And in Proverbs 15:3 we read, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." And then in Hebrews 4:13 we read these, "But all these are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And listen to the conclusion that your pastor came up with. Listen carefully as I read. Therefore, in a sense, the Bible ought to be an open, naked book, a treasure house of divine knowledge, awaiting our searching and seeking eyes to behold all the wondrous things God has in this treasure chest of knowledge. The word search in John 5:39 means to take one's eyes and to examine, like with a microscope, to examine what has God said on this subject. What has God said about marriage? What has God said about a husband's duties to his wife? What has God said about a woman's duty to her husband? What is God's duty to me as a father to my children and grandchildren? What is my duties as a pastor to my church? What are my duties? By taking the microscope and examining what God says. Beloved, are you desirous tonight to take a microscope or take a telescope or take a big magnifying glass, if you will, and place it over the scriptures and say, Dear Lord Jesus, within this Bible is a gold mine, a silver mine. There is nothing but a treasure chest of divine knowledge that I might be able to know you and to be drawn closer to you. Lord, help me to read and to study that I might fall in love with the one who died for me. Christian, you're going to spend all eternity with Jesus. Doesn't it make sense to start loving him and knowing him now? And I'm not advocating hiding yourself in a house, calling the boss and saying, I'm not coming to work because my pastor told me I have to study. Bye. I'm not advocating that. Sorry, sweetheart, can't wash the dishes. Preacher Bob says I gotta study. If you want to eat, there's paper plates in the top cupboard. I'm not advocating that. Yes, I'll be a fool here tonight just to drive my point across. Sorry, baby, you just lay in your dirty diaper. Preacher Bob says I gotta study. You just hang in there. You cry, but you hang in there. Perseverance. P, tulip, Calvinism, you hang in there. What I'm advocating here tonight, dear congregation, do you have just a simple desire to study? Do you love your God to the same degree that he loved you and was willing to give up his greatest treasure, his blessed Son? That's all I'm asking. And then finally tonight, turn to Acts 17. And I'll share something with you, not to impress you, because I'm pretty confident when you look at me, there's not too much to be impressed with. But I will share this with you. This Bible study came to me last night, Acts 17. This study came to me last night because there was a different lesson lined up, and God the Holy Spirit kind of tweeted my mind with these three verses I read to you earlier in this hour. Tonight, this lesson came fresh off the desk last night. So sometimes my sermons come on the fly hours before I even teach them, which means your pastor's thinking, meditating, and pre-studying. And then certain things came in my noodle, that does happen, lined up and said, okay, Lord, well then I'll teach that. Watch this one, Acts 17, 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. This is that passage you have to go back to where Paul says, endeavoring. Oh, I wanted to see your faces so much. I want to endeavor and see your faces. Who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Well, in what way were they more noble, Paul? Well, first off, they received the word with all readiness of mind. And secondly, they searched the scriptures. Guess what? That's a whole different Greek word. I didn't know that till I studied it last night. Are you ready, church? I think we'll make it. First off, the Greek word that is used here, the very root word, is a legal term. It's a legal term, a lawyer's term. And it denotes a preliminary investigation for gathering evidence in order to bring it to a judge for the judge to say, pursue the investigation of innocence or guilt. Whoa. This word, the Greek word, translated, they search the scriptures daily, is a word that whose root comes from a word that has the idea of a preliminary investigation in order to bring credible evidence before a judge to proceed with the trial. That's a heavy word. That's a heavy word. But before we call it an evening tonight, I want you to look at verse 11 once again as I close. Before you can examine and investigate all the treasures of God's diamond mine, gold mine, and silver mine, you need one key ingredient that's found in verse 11. And I reserve now my right to make comment as I close. Look at verse 11 one more time. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that, and here's the key ingredient, before you can study, this must be the first ingredient. They received the Bible, they received the teaching, they received the preaching. What all readiness of mind. You know what the word readiness means? I'm glad you asked. Are you ready? And this now leads into my next lesson next Wednesday. The Greek word translated readiness comes from a word that simply means a disposition of the mind, a willingness of the mind. It means that you have a pursuit and not being lazy. Look at it. Before you can examine Scripture, God the Holy Spirit was very careful in this verse to put one key ingredient that must come before any examination of Scripture. Do you possess a ready or a willing mind? Wow. So if I don't pray to God, you know what that means? Bob's heart is not willing. My mind's not prepared. If I don't study my Bible, it's because the preacher has chosen not to have a prepared mind, so he's lazy. If I do not prepare my heart to love my wife and to live with her according to knowledge and to love and to cherish her and to look beyond all of her faults and to be willing to die for her in order for her to exist and to survive, if I do not have the ability to crucify my own desires to meet her needs first, it's because the husband of this home has no willingness of mind to render to his wife her due benevolence. So, beloved, this speaks about a heart issue. Your desire, your willingness or no willingness to study the Bible at all, if I bring up excuses before God not to study my Bible, beloved, Bob has a heart problem. Secondly, this speaks on how important you take this duty as your own. And yes, beloved, I've heard you. I work too. And I wear a hat of a husband, I wear the hat of a gospel preacher, and I wear the hat of an assistant director to a kitchen operation. I do not stay home and look out the four walls and say, look at the birds. I got a full-time job. Just like you all do. And so your pastor has to make the time. And sometimes I have to go to my wife and say, honey, just give me a few moments. I got to go back there and do a little bit of preparation. She's not in that back room. He deserves to give me time. He don't love me. That doesn't come from her lips. Okay, go back there and do what you got to do. Because she understands. I need a little bit of time to prepare all of this. And beloved, I'll be the first one to tell you as I stand here and preach to you, there are times when I struggle. Boy, I want to watch that program. Well, maybe I'll ask the wife just to record it. I can watch it later. Man, I want to go out there in the backyard and play in the dirt. Boy, I want to just sit down, look at the ceiling, and just do nothing. I have those temptations. And so your pastor has to say, God, I got to feed this flock. How about fluffing up the motivation? Help me. And there's sometimes I have to go down that hall and crucify my own fleshly desires that may want to go here, go there, go shopping, let's do this, let's go to the zoo, let's go take a walk, let's go look at the birds, let's just sit there and be lazy. I have to fight those temptations just like you. But again, do you want a lazy preacher? Thirdly, this speaks on how you really want to profit. That is, growing in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is this a heart issue, not only does this challenge how important your relationship with God is, it also speaks on how you really want to profit. Do you want to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you want to remain a baby in the spiritual nursery of God's kingdom? Or do you want to grow in grace and be a mature tree that will bear fruit in good time? That's all I'm asking you. And then finally, this speaks on how really serious you are with your walk with God. Beloved, on the day of judgment, you will not stand before me. I will not stand before you. We will all stand before our God, our Maker, our Creator, and our Savior, and He wants to reward His people. The question is, do you desire King Jesus to reward you? And there's nothing selfish or nasty or self-centered about that. Just like a father or a mother would like to reward and just cherish their children with blessings, your Heavenly Father wants to do that as well. And so, beloved, I offer to you those three verses. Study to show thyself approved. Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. And hear, before you can examine the Scriptures, like a lawyer hunting for facts, you have to cultivate. And if you don't have a heart like this, then ask God to give you one. Pray and ask God, Lord Jesus, please give me a ready mind. Give me this desire. Give me this eagerness to pursue this word that I might know and love and serve you all the more with knowledge. Beloved, that is your pastor's burning desire for his flock. If I rattled your cages, I didn't mean to do it in mean spirit. I just meant to kind of kick the record. Maybe it kind of stuck on the needle. Do you love God? Do you love Christ? Do you love His Word? That's all I'm asking you. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we come before Thee, Lord, to thank You. For saving us. Lord, none of us in this room deserve your salvation. None of us. And Father, in your great sovereign plan, you have chosen to open our eyes and our ears to the Word of God. We don't deserve that neither. But you have given us a privilege that other people refuse to accept even at this very hour. Lord, may we never take you for granted. May we never take the Bible for granted. May we never take each other for granted. So, Father, I pray that you would give your people here tonight a ready mind, a prepared mind, an active heart in pursuing you and the Word for their own profit. I beg this in Christ's name. Amen.